Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
What is the Bible? Who wrote the Bible?
The church will continue to be even more irrelevant when it quotes letters from 2,000 years ago.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, is where our trouble began.
This sounds to me like the voice of someone who really has an appalling ignorance of what the Bible says about itself and what Jesus said about it.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Marriage is what brings us together today. This is Wretched Radio. I didn't know it was that high. Marriage. Is there a more important decision? Yes, there's one more important decision. Am I going to humble myself, repent, and put my trust in Jesus Christ? Or am I going to go to hell? That's the biggie right there. But the second biggest decision, I think, I'm trying to think of any that are bigger, who am I going to marry? And perhaps right alongside of it is, what's my plan to make it to the finish line? Which is till death do you part? Is there a bigger decision than picking a spouse, selecting somebody who is godly, to live your life doing what? Doing what? What is the point of marriage? Figuring that out is probably right behind who am I going to choose, but I suspect that you could put what is the point of marriage before picking the person that you want to live with for the rest of your life so that that person is indeed compatible with that same agenda. If your agenda in marriage is anything other than glorifying God, you are in for a lot of work and a lot of heartache. You need something transcendent. If you get married because you like the idea of marriage, you're going to learn that you're living with a sinner. And marriage isn't always a bed of roses. It's more like a king-size bed of thorns sometimes because you're a sinner, they're a sinner, then you breed a bunch of sinners, you got nothing but sin going on. And if marriage is intended to make you happy, there are going to be days, perhaps seasons, when it doesn't. What are you going to cling to? The ideal? Well, maybe that can get you through a little bit on occasion, but not till the end. Went to a seminar that was given by Dr. John Street. It was called Rooted, Marriage for the Long Run. It was terrific stuff, and it was a reminder that if you do not have a sin plan, chances are very good you're not going to get to the finish line of marriage, which is when you die. Have you ever pondered, why is it that so many people are married for 30, 35 years? Maybe this isn't like breaking news story. Rita Perlman and Danny DeVito. Rhea Perlman and Danny DeVito. Mm-hmm. And now, did they get divorced already? Or is that kind of a recent announcement? Joey, just give it a quick Google. Regardless, they were married for decades. And now they're... What happened? I would suggest to you a couple of things probably went down, chief of which is they did not have a sin plan. Question for you, Christian, what's your sin plan? What's your sin? How are you going to deal with the sin in your home? No, I'm not talking about the mistakes. I'm not talking about the things that annoy you. I'm talking about the sins that happen, which is far more biblical language and more helpful language. I had the opportunity to speak about this at a Baptist church in Minnesota. Did I mention, fellas, I was just in Minnesota? I was in West St. Paul. This is a Baptist church I walked by 1,000 times as a kid when I was a little pagan. And I had the privilege of being there last Wednesday night talking about marriage, talking about a sin plan, and talking about how you can go about the business of dealing with the issues in our home by using biblical language. If you say, for instance, oh, my child is so naughty. Well, yeah, your child's naughty, but that isn't language that's very helpful. Now, if you say this instead, my daughter is such a sinner. Well, that's different all of a sudden, isn't it? Because now you've got a different perspective on what it is. It's not a nuisance. It's not naughtiness. It is a spiritual issue. Changes the complexity in the picture, doesn't it? My child, instead of being naughty, you say, my child is such a liar. Whoa. all of a sudden you realize what you're dealing with. It's not just something that displeases you or could potentially jeopardize his future and being successful in this world. You realize this is a spiritual issue I'm dealing with, using biblical language. Very, very helpful. So please remember, you no longer have naughty children. You have totally depraved sinners. That's what you got right there. All right, give me the update on Danny DeVito and Rhea Perlman.
So apparently they've been separated for a couple of years, but she says they will not get divorced.
Mm.
But they're separated. But they're good friends. But they're separated.
Yeah. And why do they tend to stay together? For the sake of the kids. And that's what John Street answered for me, because perhaps you've asked that question. What happens to people? Why do they do that? And he was right. He's counseled hundreds of people with marriage difficulties, people wanting to call it quits after decades. And they've been focusing on the children. Now you say, well, we don't do that. We're not a child-centered home. Oh, you probably are. We all are to varying degrees. You can't not be. But if they become it, the kids pretty much control and dictate the terms and the calendar of your home, then you got a kid-centered home. It's very easy to do. Now, you don't want that, because that's the most miserable child there is. The kid who doesn't have an authority, who says, knock it off. We don't behave that way. Stop doing that. Have somebody who's strong. They're the most miserable kids, aren't they? We were in the airport, Minneapolis-St. Paul Airport. Voted the nicest airport in the country 3 years in a row. And if they want to get it 4 years in a row, they better do something about their TSA system there. Because I'm telling you something, it was a nightmare on Sunday. Nevertheless, we're walking through the terminal, and this little girl fell down on the ground, throwing one. No tears, mind you. Dad stands there waiting for her to finish pitching her little fit. And then I had to slow down and watch. I'm sorry. This is, to me, is better
than
the
car accident.
It's like a good accident. Oh, better than that any day of the week. Is that your mother? Oh, is your mother going in to get some candy? Oh, wow. That's what you're going to bribe the kid with candy? You're going to miss out on something fun if you don't get off the floor and stop acting like a totally depraved sinner? It's the best he had. And that child will become increasingly miserable, because kids do better when there are bumpers. Kids do better when there are tracks that they are commanded by God to run on. Those are happier children, not the ones who can do anything that they want to do. That is a child home that is just dominated by the schedules of kids. So the mom and the dad, they slowly grow apart. Imperceptibly, they didn't see it coming, and then all of a sudden the kids skedaddle, and there they are, alone. Let me tell you something. That will be the source of many divorces after 30, 40 years. They don't know how to get along with each other. They don't even know who they are. This whole thing that this was built on, it has been pulled out from under us like a rug, and we're flat on our backs, and we have no desire to figure out how to work it out because we don't have a plan. John Street gave a plan. How do we endure? Well, would like to share with you now, because I thought this was especially compelling and oh so poignant, the seven stages, I think it's seven stages, of married life. Let's see if this finds you in any way. Stage one, newly married. Whatever the ages are, it doesn't make any difference. He has 21 to 25. That's arbitrary, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. You are starry-eyed. That's what you are. But there are challenges. You separate from mom and dad. You've got to balance any allegiance to spouse with your family of origin. Hold on. You got another family that gets introduced. Your spouses. Establishing mutual rules for your marriage. Finding good employment. Establishing adult status. Learning how to solve problems and establish priorities. Together. Adjusting to your role. Adjusting to becoming one flesh. You can count on those things happening for the first several years of your marriage. So what happens to the starry-eyed lovers who just said, I do? Without a sin plan, without knowing that they are doing this for God's glory and nothing less. Do you see how easy it is for newlyweds to call it a day? We see it all the time in Hollywood, don't we? The marriage, how long? How many weeks? Well, everybody was on their best behavior while they were courting, dating, whatever they were doing in Hollywood. And then all of a sudden, they're living with this sinner. And their starry eyes get crossed. What am I doing here? The Christian, no matter how confusing the season can be, doesn't say, I'm doing this for the sake of my spouse. I'm not doing this for the sake of happiness. I'm not doing this for the sake of parents. I'm not doing this for the sake of tradition. I am doing this to glorify God by playing my role as Jesus or the church the best way that I possibly can. I am doing this to have a relationship that is a picture of the gospel for the planet to see how much Jesus loves the church and vice versa. You commit yourself to that, and that alone, that pulls you through the starry-eyed phase. That feels like you just got hit in the eyes, and you don't know that you can recover. You can if you have something transcendent. You are not doing it for self. You are not doing it for personal joy and satisfaction. You are doing it for something far more lofty. You are married in service of the King. Anything less, and you won't make it to stages 2 through 7 next on Wretched Radio.
Thanks for joining us. Always glad when you spend part of your day listening to Wretched Radio. And thanks for handing out a ton of our evangelistic booklet, What Time is Purple? And yes, we actually weighed them. What Time is Purple is yours free. The booklets are free. All you do is pay for shipping and promise to give them away when we send them to you. For details on how to get your 20 copies of What Time is Purple, go to wretched.org/purple. It's that simple. Now, should you or your organization require more than 20 copies, we got you covered there too. Just email al@wretched.org. Let them know how you plan on giving them away. We'd appreciate it. Get your copies free of What Time is Purple today at wretched.org/purple. That's where you'll also find a link to read the booklet, if you'd like, wretched.org/purple, and join us to give away copies of What Time is Purple. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
If you have been looking for a reason to sponsor your very own Tomorrow Club in Eastern Europe, perhaps this story from Max, the national director in Ukraine, will inspire you to visit tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Arsène, just 5 years old, escaped his home and came to the camp. His grandmother would not let him. She was cursing all Christians. His grandmother sadly passes away. So he kept coming. Not only that, he brought his parents and they repented. So this family gives the house where the grandma used to live to the church. And that's where the Tomorrow Club meets.
And that story is not a one-off. Families getting saved constantly through the Tomorrow Clubs in Eastern Europe. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club? 30 disciples, $30 per month. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
If you love Don't Stub Your Toe, and really who didn't, with its thorough gospel presentation, then you're going to love Wretched's newest evangelistic booklet, Are You a Rotten Fish? This booklet is perfect if you fear that someone you know is a false convert or that there may be false converts in your church. Are You a Rotten Fish is an informative booklet about true and false conversions. In other words, wheat and tares, wise virgins and foolish virgins, good fish and rotten fish. Are You a Rotten Fish compares and contrasts the true gospel versus false gospels, the correct response of repent and trust versus, well, really all the incorrect responses. All you have to do is hop on your phone or favorite computing device and visit wretched.org/fish and order your copies today. So, who do you know who might be a rotten fish? Visit wretched.org/fish to get your copies of Are You a Rotten Fish today. That's wretched.org/fish.
Books of the Bible. 1 Corinthians is a letter from the Apostle Paul to the church in Corinth. Paul addresses his concerns about divisions and immorality in the church. Then Paul answers questions from the Corinthians about marriage, food, worship, gifts, and the resurrection. When you want to understand God's high calling for the church, look to 1 Corinthians.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What is your sin plan? This is Wretched Radio. Went to a conference, Dr. John Street, Masters University. He's the chair. He's not a chair. You see, that's symbolic language, sort of like, this is my body, this is my blood. That was just for you, Tony, right there. He's the chair of the Biblical Counseling Department at Masters University. Gave a marriage seminar, Rooted Marriage Conference. And he cited seven stages that everybody will go through in marriage, and it can be very rocky. And without the calming effects of a sin plan, you could be capsized. That's right. You could be flung out into the ocean of confusion with no life vest on, and you will sink like a stone. I'm repenting of trying to take that analogy way too far. There are seven stages of marriage. The first stage is the starry-eyed. You're cuckoo-cachoo crazy for that person that you've decided to spend the rest of your days with, but you just didn't realize there'd be so many challenges. Adjusting to parents, coming up with new rules, living in a different role. I'm a spouse, potentially a parent, which is actually phase two. You've got to figure out the in-law business, you're making a living, spending budgets, all of those intimacy issues, all of those things, they're going to hit you upside the head like an Acme frying pan. And if you don't have a sin plan to deal with it, you probably are going to find your marriage at the bottom of an ocean that's littered with, like the Titanic that sank in the ocean, you're going to find yourself in the bottom of the thing ocean where the sea? Oceans yeah. are laying there. I knew I should have stopped. Phase two, bloodshot. That's when the babies come. Whatever your years are, doesn't matter. He has it between 25 and 30. These are kind of classic periods, aren't they? Because the kids these days aren't getting married until, I think, that the average age now is, I believe, is right before you get Medicare or Medicaid. I'm not sure. That's when they're deciding to get married. Nevertheless, the bloodshot phase. You deal with a wife not working. Because she's staying home and doing the most noble thing possible. She's raising God's image bearers, making decisions about who to visit on the holidays, adjusting to new physical, social, economic conditions, moving to a new community, perhaps, deciding on family size, got to work through those issues, new responsibilities, work, home, and don't forget church. There would be adjusting to a loss of freedom. You can't just do whatever you want to do, whatever you want to do it. You are tethered to a human being. Let me tell you, that can bring some challenges. What's your plan? I would like to suggest to you that you have a higher goal in marriage than just personal satisfaction and fulfillment. That is a recipe for disaster, because you are going to be cruising along and you are going to hit an iceberg. And it's going to be called Iceberg Baby. That's what it is. It's Baby Iceberg. And you're going to crash into it. And it's going to rip a hole open in the side of your boat. And down you go. Guys, are you not going to jump in and save me from myself on any of this?
No, I'm enjoying. It's like a train wreck, like a but on water.
I feel like I'm the Titanic. And I'm just glub, glub, glubbing right here. And I'm at the part where the boat is tipping up. And it's going down really fast. And then they're sliding off of the rail. And Kate Winslet gets to be on a floating door. And your marriage is going to be like Leonardo DiCaprio. You're just going to slip down into the icy waters of divorce or just a chilled out relationship. That's what's going to happen to you.
And then James Cameron shows up and tries to put his spin on everything.
Okay, I'm just thinking there is no stopping you.
More, you adjust to the loss of freedom, experience a loss of privacy as a couple. If you even get a courtesy knock from the kids, learning a new role as a mother or father, especially if you didn't have good role models, dealing with parental criticism of your parenting. Might I suggest to you that is something that you don't do to your kids? I realize we seem to have a generation that's kind of hypersensitive about it. Whether or not they are is irrelevant in my estimation. Be careful how much advice you give to your kids about how they're raising their kids. Instead, might I encourage you to exert your energy in teaching your grandkids what wonderful parents they have? Let them know that you got their, you've got mom and dad's back, not the kids' back. They don't need to have their back, their kids. Mom and dad need you to have their back. Encourage that. You'll be helping so much more than just criticizing. Don't think that I'm saying you can never share something. But more important, I think, letting the grandkids know they got a wonderful mom and dad, even if you're not nuts about every decision that they make. They're still mom and dad, and they're still in it. Phase three of marriage. Dazed. Children enter school. You've got to adjust to the first and last child entering school. That's one you better be prepared for, by the way. That one kind of hit us by surprise. I did not realize that becoming empty nesters would have the implications that it did. It just, wow. Somebody changed the thermostat in the house. It's like the light switches all got moved. It's like the lawnmower didn't get the blade sharpened and somebody put it into a different closet. It would be sort of like somebody rearranged the furniture on you. Somebody help
Wait,
me for rearranging my own analogies,
the,
please.
Rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic? Is that where you're going?
Oh, wow, Joey. I feel ashamed of myself. Exactly that, right there. It's just different. And suddenly, you're going to be with that man or woman that you really wanted to be with a lot 30 years ago. You got it. Be prepared for that adjustment, which is why you got to watch out for a kid-centered home. You better dig your spouse because you're going to get a lot of him or her when the kids finally go. Phase three, dazed, balancing multiple roles. You got work, you've got a spouse, you got church, you got family, you got community. Readjusting to a change of career goals, perhaps. You were going to run the planet. Well, now maybe that role is not available to you. You can't attain that. Relating to parents as fellow adults. Making goals and dreams match reality. Discovering the additional cost of education and taking children to lessons. Look, you need something bigger than just a scheduler, a day timing system, whatever that thing you use on your schedule calendar app thingy, my Bob. You need more than that. Why am I doing this when you're running to the 7,000th ballet practice? Oh, yeah. I'm glorifying God in everything that I do. That will get you through. Anything less than that, and not having a sin plan for when the kids are sinning, when your spouse sins against you, if you do not have a well that you can go to find forgiveness and the ability to say, I forgive you, you're in trouble. No wonder why so many marriages, including self-professed Christian marriages, are struggling. Phase D, shocked! These would be the teenage years. Now you got to reevaluate career aspirations a lot. You got to handle menopause, reassessing the marriage progress and sanctification. Where are we at with all of this? Stabilizing family resources because they're getting tapped, aren't they? Accepting individual differences with your mate and children. Handling independence of children. Accepting your new role in life with children. And they're getting big. And they smell sometimes, and they need big clothes, and you can't get the kids' meal anymore, and you got to pay for all of the stuff that they want. I want to date them. Okay, maybe that isn't how your teenager talks. It just sounds that way. What's your plan? Why are you doing this? Phase E, spent. Children are off to college. You got to refocus more on the time you spend with your mate. You've got to relate to your kids as fledgling adults. Adjusting to changing family dynamics. Handling increased awareness of physical limitations. The kids are moving away. They got married. Now we got to deal with the spouses and the in-laws. Learning to cope with a new family entering the family. A new person. Accepting new traditions and schedules. Yikes. Our next phase. Lonely. The kids are gone. Everything is different. You're a grandparent. You're preparing for retirement. Your kids, they really are adults. You've got to deal with your aging parents. You've got to prepare to be alone. Physical deterioration, learning to communicate differently. I can't wait for that phase. You know what I want to do? First thing I want to do when I'm an old curmudgeon, in the public bathroom. Hey, get back in here and wash your hands, young man. You're trying to get everybody sick. That's what I want to be at that phase soon. And finally, the most difficult phase, the sideline, unable to work, the sale of the home, you can't drive, the death of a spouse, maybe kids, or you're losing your kids, you've got illness, you got to accept a new your subculture status, you've got to figure out any way to contribute to the planet. Question: you're not at that phase yet. Lord willing, you will be. What's your sin plan, and what is the purpose of your marriage? Anything less than glorifying God, and you're looking to be the next Titanic. This is Wretched Radio.
Important dates in Christian history. 1675. German Lutheran minister Philipp Jakob Spener publishes Pia Desideria, which becomes a manifesto for pietism. While both Catholicism and Protestantism define the faith in largely communal and societal terms, pietism emphasizes the personal experience of being born again. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Are you a blended family? This is Wretched Radio. Sin happens. Divorces happen. Children certainly happen, and sometimes remarriage happens. Not going to get into the complexities of remarriage, divorce. Those are always issues that should be discussed in detail with your pastor. One more reason: you should be a member of a local church. It is the local pastor, your local elders, who can help you through the complex issues of divorce and remarriage. It's always complicated. Anytime you hear anything being spoken about the subject of divorce and remarriage, unless it is holistic, it just covers every single subject and situation, it can be misinterpreted, misapplied. Only by dealing with the issue yourself, with your pastor, will you make a wise biblical decision, which is one more reason, please be praying for your pastors. I'm telling you, these guys, they get situations dumped in their laps. I mean, this isn't far-fetched. There are two people in their congregation. They're both divorced. They're thinking about dating and reconsidering marriage. So now, not only does the pastor need to get involved to discover, okay, what happened in that divorce? What was the status? What was the reason for that? Oh, where's the other spouse at? Believer, unbeliever? Take that times two. And you just impart that wisdom, because that's what your pastor has to do. Be praying for your pastor who carries burdens. Most of us would crumble. Our little legs would just go boop right out from underneath us. Step families often require an awful lot of pastoral counsel because they bring in complexities. Did I mention I was at a seminar with Dr. John Street? Rooted Marriage Conference. It was outstanding, and I don't know that I've ever really read much about the challenges of step families and how they need to have a really, 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 really sound biblical view of marriage and family to get through. How many step families have broken up because the kids with the new mom, the new dad, the rules I don't like, and everything goes kafritz, and then the mom needs to side with the kids because the dad is being a little bit too severe than what she... The kids certainly don't like it. And now this guy has kids who won't obey, a mom who doesn't support him. So if you know a step family, or you are a step family, perhaps this will help you to help them or to help yourselves. Because remember, God helps those who humble themselves. Running with false assumptions, that is a big problem for step families. My children come first. Blood is thicker than water. Children before everything. Well, you thought I was going to make that obnoxious sound again now, didn't you?
I was waiting for it.
I got better matters than to go dah! A third time.
And there
Wouldn't
we are.
Do that. Absolutely not. Those are false assumptions. And those are tend to be the step family homes that get so explosive. Running with the right assumptions. It should not be a child-centered home. It is a... What are you going to say? Okay. You shouldn't have a child-centered home. Let's just see if Tony and Joey were actually paying attention to any of this. You should not have a child-centered home. You should have a...
Christ-centered home.
You are listening! Joey, I have to...
You forgive everything?
Don't get carried away, Joe.
Here's the right assumptions. The husband and wife relationship is intended by God to be the permanent relationship. Just because this is your second marriage doesn't make it any less of a marriage in God's eyes. Your relationship with your kids, that's temporary. That's a tough adjustment, isn't it? And you need that adjustment, especially in step families. You need to realize, wait a second, these kids, they will fly the nest someday, and that spouse ain't going nowhere. That is because God intended that to be the permanent relationship, and the relationship with your kid is intended to be temporary. And if you're not acting like that, you are pouring kerosene on smoldering embers. I don't know if that's actually combustible, but it sounded right. Number three, your biological children and stepchildren must be reared to leave the home, not stay. Letting you just ruminate and even chew on that for just a minute. Are you training your kids to skedaddle, or are you enabling your kids to do nothing but stay? Are you training them to be prepared to go? Now, I get it. This gets trickier. Boys and girls, perhaps this will sound a little bit puritanical. Nevertheless, there are safety issues involved. Having said that, we need to be training our kids to go, not stay. We need to be training our kids to handle those other phases of marriage that we discussed. The seven different stages that you're bound to go through. Are you training your kids for that? Are you teaching them how to deal with those subjects when they come up? If not, you're training them to stay. Your spouse is the one who should stay. Your kids should be skedaddling. And this wouldn't be a law, but sooner the better. The younger they get out because they're able to do so, I think the better. I have never talked to anyone. Maybe you will be the exception. I have never met anyone who has ever said, I wish I had waited even longer to have kids. I wish I had waited longer to do those things. I don't know anybody who doesn't go, I want them sooner. I wish we had had more of those things. I grant you there's scenarios, but as a rule, I was talking to a buddy when I was in Minnesota. Same thing, you know. We could have started a few years younger. I wish we had. Then we maybe could have had another child. Be training your kid for that. Furthermore, here are some right assumptions for your home. Your example of setting their stepfather or stepmother ahead of them as children is the model they need to see for their own future marriage. If you do not put your spouse, the stepfather or stepmother of your children, ahead of the kiddos, they're not going to know how to be married themselves, and they're going to have what? A kid-centered home. In creation, in Paul's description of the Christian home, and in the qualification of elders, the priority is always given to the husband-wife relationship first and the children second. You need that in every home, but especially in step family homes. Fifth right assumption, marriage is thicker than blood. Ooh, that's not easy, is it? You may be blood related to your kids, but your commitment to them is temporary. Even though you're not blood related to your spouse, your commitment is for a lifetime. That's an adjustment, isn't it? Might I just throw this in as an aside? I think you're going to, regardless of what we say, Todd. You get married, your commitment is to your spouse, not to your parents. That means once you say I do, running home to mom and dad, it ain't an option anymore. I hope Tom Hammond doesn't mind me talking out of school about him, because I'm going to just spend some time with my buddy Tom Hammond. He's the author of What Time Is Purple, which you can get at wretched.org/purple to give away the gospel. We'll give you up to 20 copies free, wretched.org/purple. And he said this, and I thought this was brilliant advice. telling his both the new in-law son or daughter, whatever the genders are, and your blood child, when you say I do, when you have a problem, who are you going to call? It is neither your mom and dad nor Ghostbusters, your spouse. If you have a problem, if you have a challenge, if you have a need, who gets the first call? Not mom and dad, your spouse. I thought that was excellent wisdom. Now, if you're at each other's necks and you're just and stuff, don't bother coming home to complain. Don't call me up to say you're the daughter that we raised, the son that we raised is a... Not going to do that. You work it out together. And if you do want the wisdom that we can afford you, come together and we'll talk through it. That was smart. Marriage is thicker than blood. Number 6, the powerful and natural parental compulsion to love their children must be surrendered to the higher priority of being a godly mate and loving spouse. Furthermore, number 7, a child-centered home, whether it is a first or second marriage, will always experience trouble because the children will eventually grow up and leave, leaving the couple with a relationship in shambles. And that can happen in any home, but maybe especially in step homes. Number 8, adjustment. The fleshly passions and desires of your biological children, because foolishness is bound up in their little hearts, will always pit you as the biological parent against your against their step-parent, your spouse, if you allow the home to be child-centered. Don't do that. They're going to prey on your affections. They're going to use them to drive a wedge. Kids are masters at that for their own little self-centered purposes. Man, their little total depraved hearts, they are crafty. Don't let that happen. Theological priorities. You are doing this for the glory of God. Water, your marriage vows are thicker than blood. Your relationship with your spouse is permanent. Relationship with your kids is temporary. And finally, having a sin plan to deal with all of the sinning that is going to go on in your home, step family or not. This is Wretched Radio. Couldn't say it any better than Michael Woolworth from Bible League International.
The world will drill wells and provide food and shelter. Those are very important causes.
Yes.
We smile favorably upon those. But getting God's word to believers half a world away, people you won't meet this side of eternity, that's on us as God's people.
Ain't nothing wrong with digging a well, but it is only the Christian church that can provide living water. Bible League International for decades, delivering Bibles to believers who have made a profession of faith, believers who have studied the basics of the Christian faith, are then given living water in the Word, a Bible, for just $5 per Bible. You could deliver a Bible to a believer overseas through Bible League International. Might it be possible you could send, say, 6 per month? Please call Bible League at 1-800-YES-WORD.
Road Trip to Truth with our host John Fabares is Wretched's next TV series. 26 episodes that go right into the lion's den, secular university campuses. See, we want to reach this generation with this TV show aimed directly at millennials. And this program will also share the gospel with millions. Millions. It's only because of your support of Wretched that allows us to do what we do here every single day. So if you're already supporting Wretched, thank you very much. We are extremely grateful. If you're not supporting Wretched, would you prayerfully consider giving a tax-deductible gift to Wretched on, say, a monthly basis? Not only would you be helping us keep the lights on, but you'd help us reach this anxious, depressed, and lost generation with the gospel. Visit wretched.org/donate to become a Wretched Gospel Partner and join us on our road trip to truth. That's wretched.org/donate.
Ultrasound machines save lives. Don't believe me? Then believe Dan Steiner of preborn.org.
That young woman come in, 18, with her boyfriend, and he's pushing her to abort, took him back into the ultrasound room. There's two hearts. It's twins. The father looks at that, this 19-year-old guy. He goes, I don't know what we're going to do, but I know what we're not going to do. We're not going to kill those two babies.
Ultrasounds work. When a mommy, a daddy sees a picture of their baby in the womb, 80% of the time they choose life. It is $28 per ultrasound. May I ask, how many ultrasounds could you provide? $28 per month. Please note, whilst Preborn is busy trying to save the lives of babies, they're trying to save the souls of mommies and daddies by preaching the gospel. Please consider supporting Preborn at preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the door. A door serves to provide or prevent access. Thieves and robbers are prevented from entering in, but those who trust in Christ are able to come through him into eternal salvation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You'd think I'd hadn't been to Minnesota for a week. This is Wretched Radio.
You've been to Minnesota?
I don't know if I shared any of those details with you, but whoo, it was quite a trip. It really actually did have a lovely time. Got to see so many lovely believers. I really like being a Christian. I got to tell you something. It is okay, you know those fancy clubs that you can join and you get reciprocity? Meaning if you join this private country club and you give them however many thousands of dollars you need to join, then you're visiting Paducah, and they've got an affiliated club. You get to go.
Yep.
That's nice. You get to use the golf course or the tennis courts or whatever. That's swell. But do you have sweetness of fellowship? Do you ever sit around at a table with somebody else who's a member of a different country club and go, wow, I just love sitting here with you, spending time talking about the FedEx Cup. I guess you can talk about trivial things, but you don't have anything near and dear, do you? But when it comes to Christianity, you fly to a different state, you've got reciprocity because Jesus paid for your membership in his kingdom. And everybody that you sit with who is a fellow believer, it can be sweet and profound. And that is why I, among other reasons, really like being a Christian. Got to spend time with David and David Wheaton and his wife Brody. That little boy, I'm telling you, just delightful family. Such a joy. If you don't listen to David's Christian Worldview show, you really should. It's on Saturday mornings. He does a phenomenal job. I'm telling you, I think David preps maybe better than anybody doing radio. He just really always is very, very thoughtful in what he presents. And it is actually a Christian worldview. And they don't call it a Christian show, but mostly talk about politics and slap an occasional Bible verse on it. It's a Christian show, and it's just so thoughtful and very, very good. It's on every Saturday morning. I'm sure you could just Google David Wheaton. He used to play tennis. I don't think that he's hit a ball for a while, because you know those tennis courts, they will take the wind right out of you, won't they? Got to spend some time with Paul and Cindy Marty. There was some sweet fellowship time, too. By the way, keep praying for Cindy Marty. She said she was so moved. She was diagnosed with Parkinson's, and so still trying to get that all figured out, balanced out, etc. She's doing well. It's just, it's such an unpredictable malady. It's like, ooh, this was a good week, and then all of a sudden it's a struggle. Keep praying for Cindy Marty, because she's still trying to get a handle on dealing with that while still running an amazing ministry, the Tomorrow Clubs. If you don't support a Tomorrow Club, encourage you to check that out, too. Tomorrowclubs.org/wretched. Tomorrowclubs.org/wretched. The work they are doing overseas, I'm telling you, it is phenomenal. They are setting up these kids. They're think Awana, for lack of a better. It's just got terrific curriculum. That they are setting up these camps all throughout Eastern Europe in conjunction with a local church. The kids come, they get saved, the parents get saved. It's a beauty. $30 a month. You can support your own club. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched. Check this out. You know what they're talking about doing? Opening up Tomorrow Clubs. Now, remember, the gospel. Paul told me something fascinating. The gospel, they go into the poorest places. I mean, these places are so poor. But guess what the kids all have in Eastern? He said he was just in Armenia. He and Cindy, they were right about an hour away from Mount Ararat. They pull into this, I'm telling you, human forsaken, because nothing is ever God forsaken, village. And poor, poor, poor. You can't. There's nothing in America this poor. But guess what all of the kids own? He said, I think he said something like six. There were 60 kids in the community. 60 kids came to the English camp. And guess how many kids had iPhones?
All of them?
60 of them.
That's a lot.
Yeah, that, fascinating thought. These are people in very poor places. So now they have access to the world. That's good. But they also have access to the world. And that can be very bad because they don't have access to the world. I wonder how much more suicide and discontent that could cause in them, because we sure are seeing that in the States, aren't we? We look at the images. We don't get to take the trips. None of our pictures. We don't look as good. Everything is terrific. They're always having fun in their pictures. I'm not always having. Of course, movies are that way, too. Oh, the party is always fun. You don't see them having to do the cleanup. You don't have to see them vacuuming the house, getting everything ready. Everybody in. Hurry up. Make your room. Did you get those shoes cleaned up? Close the garage. Get the garbage. You don't get to see that part of the party, do you? And that's why it can be so deceptive, and it can cause so much discontent. I can't help but wonder what it might do to those poor kids. Nevertheless, they're actually translating. They've got the curriculum in English, but they're producing the curriculum in English to consider opening up tomorrow clubs in the poor regions of America. Won't that be interesting to watch? If you want to support a Tomorrow Club, check them out, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched. You wouldn't think that I was gone there for a week because we hardly missed a beat. Do you know who Reza, R-E-Z-A, Aslan, A-S-L-A-N is? Joey, it looks like you do.
Yeah, isn't he some sort of a kind of Muslim popularizer apologist who goes, is he Muslim or is he something more generic, but he's all about trying to be the nice guy who puts down Christianity everywhere he goes?
Mm-hmm. Let me just read his text. I mentioned this about 2 weeks ago. I think it's important that we're just mindful of this. You don't want to put together a string of anecdotes to make a case, but sometimes that's exactly how you make a case. What is the attitude of our culture? Reza Aslan, who's supposed to be Mr. Hey, come together right now over me.
Over me?
Yeah. Here's his tweet. We are also bleeping fed up with you racist GOPers and your bad faith bleep. After today, there is no longer any room for nuance. The president is a white nationalist terror leader. His supporters, all caps, all of them, are by definition white nationalist terror supporters. The MAGA hat is a KKK hood, and this evil racist scourge must be eradicated from society. Now, this has nothing to do with politics. This has everything to do with the world's attitude increasingly toward people that they disagree with. Now, he is talking mostly in a political context here, but aren't evangelicals known to be exactly the party that he is talking about needing eradication from society? Story number two. This is apparently what you need to do to get back in the news. Tommy Lee did the
drummer?
Tommy Lee, the drummer, posted a lengthy social media diatribe attacking conservatives, smearing Christians as anti-LGBT bigoted bleeps. Wow. This is what the drummer had to say. Remember, the conflation here, I'm sorry, but this is, I think, the impression of unbelievers, you Trumpsters, Republicans, evangelicals, in their mind, one and the same. I think that's just the way they see it. Here's what he tweeted or social mediaed. You Trumpsters better pray that liberals never gain control of the White House again, because we're going to pay you back so bleeping hard for all this bleep. Planned Parenthood's on every bleeping corner. We're going to repaint Air Force One with, and fly it over your beloved Bible Belt 6 days a week. tossing birth control pills, condoms, and atheist literature from the cockpit. Do you see the conflation there? This is an aside. I'm just saying, when you talk politics, be aware it gets conflated with your testimony. Just need to know that. We're going to tax your mega churches so bad.
How bad? I'm sorry.
Your timing is actually worse than his. Hello. We're going to tax your mega churches so bad that Joel Osteen will need to get a job at Chick-fil-A to pay his light bill.
I got no problem with that.
Speaking of Chick-fil-A, we're buying all those and giving them to any LGBTQ person your sick cult leaders tortured with conversion therapy. Hear the attitude here? He then targeted Vice President Mike Pence. Try the McPence. It's a boiled, unseasoned chicken breast that you have to eat in the closet with your mother. I have no idea what that means. I'm sure it's awful. Guns were also on the agenda. But of course, we're going to gather up all your guns, melt them down, and turn them into a gargantuan metal mountain emblazoned with the face of Hillary Clinton. Okay. Got to ask the question again. Because gun is not a moral agent, because a gun is not something that can actually do anything unless a moral agent picks it up and uses it or abuses it. Gotta ask the question, Mr. Lee Jones, what has changed? What in our culture has changed? Guns haven't changed. It must be the agents that use those guns for nefarious purposes. And what has changed? Well, frankly, it's a lot that has changed, the chief of which would be the very religion that it appears you're a little bit annoyed with, the religion that says, love your neighbor, thou shalt not commit murder. That is the religion that keeps people from behaving, you know, sinfully. So, Tommy, whilst you throw stones at us, please remember it is our worldview that has brought so much peace, prosperity, goodness, and, oh, what is that other thing? Forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. How could I forget? Until tomorrow, go serve your king.